All right, let's open our Bibles tonight to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. John, chapter 5, for the message lesson tonight. I've been a little occupied here in the last couple of weeks, and so been a little busy. And so I haven't completely decided upon the direction I want to go on Wednesday nights. I've got a few ideas, and a couple of folks have made some really good suggestions about things we could study on Wednesday nights, and I may be able to combine a couple of things. I kind of have an idea on a couple of things that would kind of combine a couple of suggestions that folks have made that sounded real good. And but we'll see. I'm just hadn't had really enough time to sit and think it through. But we will start something soon, maybe next Wednesday night. We'll see. But we will start something new. All right, John 5. I want you to look. This is an amazing chapter. The Lord has been healing folks in the first part of this chapter, and when he did, that angered the Pharisees. They were livid. As a matter of fact, they were absolutely livid at the fact that he was healing people. And then you'll look at verse 17. It says, "But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Now, when he said that, that threw him over the edge, because he was indeed claiming what they said he was claiming, that he was equal with God. That was a legitimate claim, because he is indeed equal with God. He is God. All right. So verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And true, you know, exactly what he did. All right. So what the Lord is now going to do, starting in verse 19 and basically going to the end of the chapter, is he is going to explain to them that yes, I have claimed to be equal with God, because I am God. I was sent by my Father. I am God in the flesh. I was sent by my Father, and I'm here to do the Father's will. I've come to do what the Father sent me to do. And his testimony to them is that there are some things that if you would just see them, if you would just understand them, they have testified to you that I am who I claim to be. All right, so, and that's what the rest of this chapter is all about. Now, if you look at verse 32, he says, "There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth." So he's talking about John the Baptist. And here came John the Baptist, pointed his finger at the Lord Jesus, and had everybody turn to look where he was pointing. And there stood the Lord Jesus, and John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So John was bearing witness that Jesus was who he claimed to be. All right, so that's what Jesus is arguing here. He said, "You won't believe me. You want to kill me for saying that I am the Son of God, that I am God in the flesh. You want to kill me for forgiving sin and healing folks. You want to kill me for that. But I am who I claim to be. And I'm not the only one who has said that I am who I claim to be. John told you the truth. John told you that I was the Son of God. All right? But look at verse 34. He said, "But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light." But, so now he's going to take it another step further. And so look at verse 36. He said, "But I have a greater witness than that of John." Now, John was a light. John was a witness. But Jesus said to them, "I've got a greater light than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me." Now, when did the Father bear witness of him? When he was baptized, remember that? And he came up out of the water, and the Father spoke from heaven, and everybody heard it. And the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So even the Father witnessed that Christ was who he claimed to be. All right, verse 38. Let's finish 37, all right? "And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you." Now, let me tell you something, folks. I'll guarantee you that ticked these men off big time. Everything else, they're angry already. But when he said to them, "Ye have not his word abiding in you," oh my, they probably went ballistic right there. "For whom he has sent him, ye believe not." Now look at this next verse, 39. This is what I'm going to speak from tonight. Verse 39. "Search the scriptures." Let me pad this just a touch. All right, look at verse 38. "For whom he has sent him, ye believe not. Ye search the scriptures." You folks, the ones he's talking to, you search the scriptures. "For in them ye think that ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." All right. Here the Lord says that the Bible, the scriptures, are the greatest testimony that he is who he says he is. The Bible, the Word of God. All right, let's pray, and then I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of searching the scriptures. All right, let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the Word. I pray your blessings upon the Word of God tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture and for what is revealed here. And I pray you will open our understanding tonight that we might receive your Word with gladness. Thank you, Father, for all you've blessed us with. Thank you for this Bible we have. We don't have to come here tonight and just listen to what I think or what my opinions are. But Lord, we have your eternal Word that will speak to our hearts tonight. So use your Word tonight, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 5 is an amazing chapter. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Gospel of John. And the Lord Jesus shows us in this verse the high esteem that he has for the Scriptures. That's what this this 39th verse is all about. He is showing us in this verse the esteem that he has for the Scriptures. Folks, I have taught you for all these years that I believe with all my heart that the Bible is God's eternal, inspired, authoritative, preserved Word of God. I believe that with all my heart. That is the basis. That is the foundation. That is the cornerstone for everything we do here at Church the Open Door. If we didn't believe that, we wouldn't have a leg to stand on for anything. But the Bible is our foundation. If I did not believe that the Bible is the Word of God and that it is the final authority for faith and practice, if I didn't believe the Bible was, then I would have to rely upon my own thinking and my own opinions. And trust me, you don't want that. Now, if I didn't rely upon my own opinions and my own thoughts, then I would have to use, or we would have to use, the teachings of someone else. And let me remind you that that's where cults get started. When folks rely upon the teachings of someone else. Do you remember back in the 90s when all these cults were running rampant across the country, and you had the David Koresh bunch down in Texas, and then you had that bunch out in California that called themselves Heaven's Gate, they had these way out there ideas. And the interesting thing is that each one of these had some anointed leader who got a message from a higher power, and then they became the authority. And people followed that, and in many instances, they follow that foolishness to their own death. The point is, folks, everybody has some foundation upon which his or her faith is built. Everybody. They have some foundation upon which their faith is built. Well, the thing about the thing that the Lord Jesus was saying here, and he was always saying this, what saith the Scripture? See, what's the Bible say? You see, the Bible was his final authority. That's what he's telling these Pharisees. He's telling them that the Scriptures are his final authority. He said, you know, John was a great light. John told you the truth, but I'm not relying just upon John. John's dead now. He can't speak for me. But the Scriptures are alive. They're eternal. They will never die. And the Scriptures will always speak of me. So the Lord was saying to these men, these Pharisees, what saith the Scripture? The Bible was his final authority. Folks, you will notice when you read the four Gospels that Jesus always went back to the Bible. He always went back to the Scriptures, and he used the Scriptures as his foundation. Now let me ask you a question. What is your foundation? What is your foundation? In my years of being a pastor, I have met folks and their foundation was not the Bible. I've met folks whose foundation was their grandmother. Yeah. Everything they believe, it was based upon what their grandmother taught them and what their grandmother believed. Years ago in the first church that I pastored, I went to visit a family that had visited our church, And the lady looked at me and she said, you believe in that eternal, that, how did she phrase that? I can't remember now. She described it, and I can't remember how she described it now, but she said, you believe in that eternal security doctrine, don't you? And I said, well, yeah, don't you? And she just looked at me like I was crazy. No, I don't. And I said, well, why not? And she said, well, I just don't think it's in the Bible. I said, really? She said, yeah. I said, well, let me ask you, do you know John 3:16? Well, I sure do. I said, well, let's you and me quote it together, all right? And I started quoting, and she jumped in and quoted it. Well, when we got to everlasting, she quit right there. She would not quote. She stopped, right? She knew what was coming, but she stopped. And I kept going, and I said, well, wait a minute. Why didn't you say everlasting life? And she just looked at me, and she said, well, it doesn't mean what you think it means. I said, well, then what does it mean? And we got into this great debate, and so when, and I didn't have any sense back then either, so, but I mean, I just stood there and argued toe to toe with her, and so when it was all said and done, she was red in the face as she could be. She was absolutely, if she could have got over that table and got a hold of me, I think she probably would have squeezed the life out of me. And finally she stood up, slammed her hand down on the table, and I said, but ma'am, what does the Bible say? She stood up, bang, that hand came down on that table, and she pointed her finger at me, and she said, I don't care what the Bible says. My Aunt Susie said, and then she told me what Aunt Susie had to say. And I thought, wow, man, I learned a lesson. You know, there are people that have the wrong final authority. What's the Bible say? What does the Bible say? The Lord Jesus is in a debate with these Pharisees, and he's trying to convince them that the scriptures upon which they say they stand are words that testify of him, and yet they won't believe in him. And he's wondering, how can you do that? And he says to them in verse 39, you search the scriptures and you think you have eternal life. And yet these scriptures are the very words that testify of me. And his point is that you don't have eternal life because you don't believe in me. That's his point. I've had folks say to me all through the years, but Pastor, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons, why, they believe the Bible. Well, let me remind you folks that the Lord Jesus said, many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, and I will say unto them, depart, I never knew you. There is a right way and there is a wrong way. And we need to find the right way. You say, well, how do you find the right way? It's right here in the Bible. God does not hide his plan from mankind. So you see here from the words of our Savior how the Bible works. It is the foundation. And then the superstructure on top of the foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, folks, the Bible is about Jesus from the beginning to the end. The Bible is a testimony about Jesus Christ. All right, now, let me have you notice three things that the Lord Jesus says here about the scriptures in this 39th verse. First, we see his exhortation. Now, what is his exhortation? His exhortation is this: search the scriptures. You and I are supposed to search the scriptures. You see, one of the things that you see when you are in Israel, and I noticed this the other day when President was down at the Wailing Wall, and I've been there many, many times, And the thing that struck me was nobody was there. Did you all see that? And nobody was there. And I was laughing when I saw that. I thought, boy, that the people of Jerusalem are angry people today because they shut the city down when President Trump showed up. And I was laughing about it. Well, Glenn Matthews emailed me and wanted to know how I was doing. And so I emailed him back real quick told him that I was doing good. And then I said, I know for sure there's one angry tour guide in Israel today, .. Boaz. And Glenn called me just immediately, and he said, "What? What are you talking about? Why is he angry?" I said, "Turn on your TV. Trump is in Jerusalem, and nobody's in town. Nobody's there." Well, it wasn't 20 minutes till my phone rang, and it's Boaz. And he goes, "Pastor Norris." And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Get Trump back in Washington." And I was just laughing. I said, "Why?" He said, "We can't get anywhere near Jerusalem. Get him back in Washington," he said. I said, "Okay, I'll call him and tell him come home." Yeah. But one of the things you see when you go over to the Wailing Wall, and we'll see this in November, if you go with us, is at the way the camera was angled the other day, you could see the camera was angled so that you could look down the wall, and then you saw these archways and these openings, and you could see, if you were looking at it carefully at it, you could see that there were men walking around over there. Well, those are all Hasidic Jews, the Orthodox Jews. And these Orthodox Jews don't work. Their job is to pray for Israel. Now, they have a lot of little side things they do, but they don't work jobs. They pray for Israel. And that's why you can have the camera shine on the Western Wall, and you see these guys standing there all decked out in their garments, and they've got their prayer shawls on and everything, and they're standing with their text, and they're rocking back and forth, and they're studying and praying for God's blessings on it, for the Messiah to come. All right? Now, just inside where those arches were it's like a library in there. And they've got sinks because, according to Leviticus, they've got to wash their hands and their feet before they touch the scriptures and before they pray. So there's all these sinks in there and little coffee pot like looking things, and they wash themselves. But on the walls are just shelf after shelf after shelf of scriptures. Just oodles of them. And there are tables that are sitting in there. And it's not unusual to walk in and see a priest, and he is sitting there in front of four or five different texts. And he is reading and he is searching the scriptures. And that's the idea. Search the scriptures. Now notice, folks, Jesus did not say, "Read the scriptures." He did not say, "Read the daily bread." Hello? He said, "Search the scriptures." And that's what those rabbis are doing. They're sitting there comparing scripture with scripture, and they're searching to see whether these things are so. All right? And so every time Every time I read this verse, I think of the Ethiopian eunuch. You know, search the scriptures. Every time I read this, I think of that eunuch. And he's in the chariot going back to Africa. And he's sitting in the chariot reading the scroll of Isaiah that he had purchased when he was in Jerusalem. And Philip ran up and asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the man said, "Well, how can I except some man should guide me?" So Philip got in the chariot with him, and Luke tells us in the book of Acts that he took the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So here is Isaiah, which is Old Testament. And the eunuch is reading Isaiah, the Old Testament. And Philip got into the chariot and at the same scripture preached unto him Jesus. Folks, that's exactly what the Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees here. You read the scriptures, you search the scriptures, and you think you have eternal life, but you can't see me, so you don't have eternal life. They stumble at the truth. And boy, there are a lot of people that stumble at the truth. So Philip understood that the scriptures testify of Christ. So when he got in the chariot with the eunuch, he taught him about Christ. It's that simple. Now, two things are needed in the search. Two things. We are exhorted to search the scriptures. And two things are needed in the search. First, passion. Passion is needed in the search. When the Lord Jesus said, search, you can feel the passion, the needed diligence, the dedication that is needed in the search. This is not an admonition to casual reading. This is the Lord admonishing us to diligently search the scriptures and learn of Christ. You might remember over in Acts 17, in verse 11, Luke tells us that the people of Berea searched the scriptures daily. Why? To see if what the apostles were teaching them was so. All right, now think about that, folks. What scriptures were they searching? The Old Testament. They didn't have a New Testament scriptures. There was no New Testament scriptures yet. So when the people of Berea were searching the scriptures to see if what the apostles was preaching about was true, what were they preaching? Well, we know they were preaching Christ. They were preaching Jesus. And the people were studying the scriptures to see if these things were so. Folks, listen, the thing that amazes me, I've been preaching for a long time. I have not found one contradiction in the Bible. I have not found one false statement in the Bible. I have not found one problem with the Bible. The Bible is God's Word, and it's proven itself to be just that. They were searching the Old Testament scriptures. That's all they had. And the point is, to the Bereans, the foundation of the Word of God was of supreme importance. The apostles taught them doctrine, but then they went to the Bible to find out if what they were being taught was the truth. You know what our problem is today? We don't read the Bible. Oh, we watch TV. And we social media ourselves to death. You know, if the Lord tarries, probably the generations coming up now is going to be blind by the time they're 50, walking around with telephones in their faces. Dr. Smith and I went to the Orioles game last night, and we were it was started raining. It didn't pour the rain, but it was raining enough to where you got a little wet, and there wasn't hardly anybody there. And so I looked at him and I said, I'm about to have all the fun I can have. And he goes, yeah, me too. This is fun. And I said, oh, man, this is fun. Yeah, let's go. And so we got up and we started out, and it was the top of the seventh inning. And I said, wait a minute. I said, we got up top of this. We were 12 rows behind home plate. Oh, yeah, we had good seats. You could hear the ball smack in the glove. It was awesome. But we got up to the first level where you go out, you know, to leave. And there was a guy standing there. And I said, hey, can you get two old men a seat where it's not raining? And he said, oh, yeah. He said, go right up there and sit on that back row right there in front of the press booth. And I said, oh, okay, thanks. I said, come on, Doc, let's go. We went up there, not a drop of rain on us. And so we got up where we could see. And I'm sitting there looking around, and everybody was doing this. Everybody was doing this. I just sat there and I thought to myself, good grief, is anybody watching the game? Now, you just think about those rabbis over at the Wailing Wall standing over there rocking forth back, and you say, isn't that ridiculous? It's no more ridiculous than all of us sitting here doing. What occupied? What's your foundation? But we don't read the Bible. I'm convinced of that. You say, Pastor, how can you say that? I tell you how I can say it. If we read the Bible, we would be grounded and settled in what we believe. We wouldn't be running to these contemporary churches. That's right. One of them told me the other day, said, well, it's not real bad rock music. What? It's not real bad rock music. Let me tell you something, folks. The gospel doesn't rock. And if we were in the Bible, that would never even cross our mind. That would never cross our mind. You know, in our day, when attacks are so prevalent, and the devil's busy, folks, he knows he has but a short time. And he's busy. And boy, if ever there was a time when we need to search the scriptures, now's the time. So, first, a passion is needed. Secondly, a purpose is needed in our search. When we search the scriptures, we're to be looking for Jesus on every page. Jesus said in this 39th verse, they are they which testify of me. Let's go back to the eunuch. He asked Philip, of whom speaketh the prophet? Who is Isaiah talking about? Is he talking about himself or of some other man? And the point is, we are to read the scriptures with the intent of finding Jesus on every page. Because Jesus is everywhere in the Bible. He's in the creation story. He's in Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and the Exodus and the law and the history books and the poetry books and the wisdom books and the prophets. He's in all of them. Someone asked Spurgeon one day what he thought was the secret to great preaching, and Spurgeon said, here it is. You take a text and you make a beeline for the cross. And this is accomplished when we are searching the scriptures. All right, second thing that I want you to see. I said, first of all, there's the exhortation. But then, secondly, we see the excellency of the scriptures. The Lord said, in them, in the scriptures, ye think ye have eternal life. You see, folks, the Bible is the only book that shows us the way to eternal life. I'm sure you probably got a lot of books in your home. I do. We have a lot of books in our house. Maybe you got a set of encyclopedias or a dictionary or some children's books, but let me tell you something. None of them are going to tell you how to get to heaven. They're not going to tell you the story of Jesus and his love. Oh, that encyclopedia might tell you about evolution. It might tell you about the Big Bang theory, because that's what it is, a theory. It might tell you how we all came from monkeys and evolved over millions of years, but it's not going to tell you how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But the Bible will tell you that. The Bible will tell you that. You need the scriptures to learn certain things. The world's not going to share certain things with you, but the Bible will. The Bible tells you where you came from, and it tells you where you're going, and it tells you how to make sure you go to the right place. It's all there. When we gather here on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, I always stand up here and say, open your Bible. I never say, turn in your Reader's Digest, never. You have never heard me say, turn in your Time magazine. You have never heard me say, turn in your Baltimore Sun. No, it's always open your Bible. You see, none of those offer eternal values. The Lord Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. That's eternal. And that's what the Bible offers. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And folks, no book has ever influenced man for good like the Bible. The Bible is the book of books. It's been attacked by unbelievers, and yet it stands true. They cannot find a fault. Cannot. They can fault, but they cannot prove their faults. If they could prove that they had errors in the Bible, don't you think Time magazine would have already had that as a headline? If they could prove one thing in the Bible was not real, don't you think the New York Slimes would have already had that posted as a headline? Of course they would. But no matter how hard they try, they cannot disprove what God says. Cannot. That's one of the things I like about going to Israel every couple of years, because every couple of years they uncover something else. And that something else that they uncover just right there in the Bible, clear as a bell. I remember when I first got saved. I remember when I first got saved in 1970. And I went to a revival meeting, and I went because this guy in our community was going to win something if he filled up the pew, and so I went. I didn't know I was going to listen to an infidel preach, but I did. Went and listened to a guy that was, he didn't believe anything. I mean, he was, sad. But anyway, he stood up and he said, he was trying to discredit the Bible. And he said, the Hittites, he said, the Bible's wrong because you can't find the Hittites anywhere in history. And the Bible talks about the Hittites. And so you can't find the Hittites anywhere in history. And it wasn't a month later that somebody uncovered a rock over in Israel, and here was this whole digest about the Hittites, where they lived and how they behaved and who their king was and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they kept going right down the list, and several people who were mentioned in the Bible as being Hittites were found in this record. You're not going to outshine God. Forget it. Forget it. It's not going to happen. This Bible is the book of books. If God says it is, then it is. It is. You've seen a bumper snicker that says, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, if God said it, that settles it whether you believe it or not. It's case closed if God said it. How are we doing on time? Yeah, we're out. All right, so let's get number three real quick. Number three, we see from this verse the enlightenment from Scripture. The enlightenment. All right, so three E words. And here's the enlightenment. This is an amazing statement Jesus made. What did he say? He said the Scriptures reveal him. Amen. Folks, that's who we need to see. Amen. We need to see Jesus. He was saying that the Old Testament Scriptures, they're about him. I've said to you many times, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And at the heart of the Old Testament and at the heart of the New Testament is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, just think about Jesus in the Old Testament. Jesus was foreshadowed in the historical books. His feelings are expressed in the poetical books. In the prophetic books, they foretell who he is. So we have feelings. We have foretelling. We have in the Gospels facts. Facts. The facts about him are given. In the book of Acts, we see his followers. And in the epistles, we see his fruits. And in Revelation, we see his future. It's all right there in the Bible. I think this is a good analysis of the Scriptures in which Christ is the main theme. In other words, folks, Jesus is the main message of the Bible. He is, as he said, the fulfillment of the law and of the prophets. He didn't come to destroy, he came to fulfill, and he did. Now let me give you two wonderful verses. Go over to the book of Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. These both passages that I'm going to read to you were spoken by the Apostle Peter. And let me remind you, Peter hung around the Lord the entire 3.5 years of his earthly ministry. All right, look at verse 38, Acts 10, 38. And Peter is preaching here. Verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Now, you know what he's doing right there? Preaching the gospel, exactly. Death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. How, verse 40, him, God, raised up the third day and showed him openly. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is, watch this now, it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Did you catch that? To him, Christ, give all the prophets witness. Everything in that Old Testament was pointing to him. All right, go over to 1 Peter 1 real quickly. We're out of time. 1 Peter 1. And look, please, at verse 10. Again, Peter writing, and he says, 1 Peter 1:10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and, what's the next word?
Searched
diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was past tense, notice that, talking about the prophets now, Old Testament, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it, what's the next word?
Testified.
Beforehand, the sufferings of Christ. Now, stop, look here. That's the first advent. That's the first coming. That's the first time he came, right? All right? So the Old Testament prophets spoke, prophesied, told us about the fact that he was coming the first time to die, to suffer, right? Psalm 22, Isaiah 53. They told about him coming to suffer. But then, comma, look at your Bible, verse 11. When it testified, when it, the Old Testament prophets, the Bible, testified beforehand, before he came, of the sufferings of Christ, first advent, comma, and the glory that should follow. So not only did these Old Testament prophets talk about his first advent, but those Old Testament prophets talked about his second advent. Amen. So we ought to realize the Old Testament scriptures tell us that Jesus was coming and tell us that he is coming again. Folks, we have learned that both advents are clearly discussed in Old Testament scripture. You know, let me close by saying this. I have learned something important about the Bible through the years. And that is this. If you think highly of the written word, then you will automatically think highly of the living word. But if you neglect the written word, then you're going to neglect the living word. Folks, stay in the book.
Amen.
That's the point. Stay in the book. I've been out for a couple of weeks. I haven't got to say it very much, so I'll say it again. Stay in the book.
Amen.
Just get in the book. Stay in the book. Turn the TV off. Read your Bible. Get off of social media and read your Bible. Search the scriptures. Search them. Search them. And read that Bible. All right, I got to quit. It's been building up for a little while, but I need to let you go get your kids.